Hello, everybody. Thank you all for coming tonight to this Twitter Spaces with Oasis and Covalent. We're just going to give it another minute or two for people to fill in, and then we'll get into the introductions and the conversation. So just hold tight for a couple more minutes. Thank you. Yeah, so I think we have a pretty good crowd here now, and we'll fill in as the Twit space goes on. I'd like to introduce our guest for today's space, Lei Bing from Covalent. Lei Bing, can you maybe give a brief introduction to yourself as well as Covalent?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Will. Hi, guys. I'm Lei Bing. I'm a developer advocate at Covalent. Covalent is a data API company, and we've recently integrated with Oasis Sapphire, which means that the lives of developers on Oasis network will be easier moving forward with our service. Yeah, back to you, Will. I'm excited for today, and thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Lei Bing. And then for those of you who don't know me, my name is Will. I'm the ecosystem growth manager here at Oasis, and sort of my roles as ecosystem growth manager is to work with our various departments, BD, engineering, community, and marketing to help set strategy and prioritization for how to grow the Oasis ecosystem. We're very pleased today to have announced our integration with Covalent on our Sapphire network, and so that'll be the topic for today's Twitter space. So to start with, I'd like to do just a brief introduction as to what Sapphire is. Sapphire is the first and only confidential EVM in Web3. So what that means is that it is a network with the ability for developers to build confidential smart contracts with encrypted state in an EVM environment. So the best way that I can sort of explain that is normally through examples. I think gaming is probably one of the best examples because I believe that like almost any compelling game in like traditional Web 2 requires some aspect of confidential state. So, for example, poker requires you to not know what's in the other player's hands. You also have to hide the state of the deck in order to not know what card is coming next. Our strategy games often have this idea of fog of war, where like resources on the map are hidden. And you need to not know where the enemy units are for strategy and things like that. And even like role-playing games have these ideas of quests, puzzles, and riddles, where you have to hide the solution to these for it to be a compelling game. Right now in like Web3, that's not really a possible thing because all state is transparent. And so in order to build something like a on-chain game that has privacy, where you can't actually build an on-chain game that has privacy, you have to sort of take things off chain, which means that you have to now sacrifice the high integrity and trustless nature that comes with the blockchain. And so Sapphire, for the first time, you can encrypt these aspects of state into the smart contract, so you no longer have to make that sacrifice. And that's what we're really excited to bring to the Web3 space. And we're super excited to have Covalent here to index our blockchain to help developers have all the tools they need to build these next generation of smart contracts. So that's a bit about Sapphire. I'd love to give Lei Bing the floor to give a little bit more of an overview on Covalent.
Awesome. So on our side, Covalent is a data API company. So what this means is that, you know how blockchains themselves produce the data, right, on-chain data, and then they are exposed in the form of nodes. And everyday consumers like us, we probably, if we're curious about a certain state of on-chain data, we'll access it through a node provider like Infura, like other JSON RPC node providers. And typically when we do that, we query it using the JSON RPC interface, right? So that's like a point query interface. And by point query, what I mean is that if you're interested in one piece of data, the current system is set up such that you can only get us for that specific piece of data. And if you need to build complex apps with it, it's pretty difficult because you're building with very, very small Lego bricks. So the way I kind of explain Covalent, what Covalent's API does to most people is that we give you a bigger set of Lego bricks such that you can easily build apps fast. Like, for instance, most common use cases, like you need to get the balances of your own wallet, right? Using JSON RPC, believe it or not, is actually pretty tedious. You need to look up all the contract ABIs for every single token that you hold. And you need to know all the token addresses. So if you hold 50 tokens, you need to make 100 queries at least to get all your token balances, which is just unthinkable from the Web2 world, right? Web2 world, from the SQL world, a relational database world, you're just asking, what's my balance? To the SQL database, and then bam, it gives you all your token balances and stuff. So yeah, that kind of Web2 experience is not available, unfortunately, given the EVM setup. So which is why Covalent came in. Like, we saw the problems that developers were facing in this space, and we're like, okay, developers need aggregated high-level data, which is not natively supported from EVMs. So what we did is we packaged all these data into databases and exposed them via our API. So we have all kinds of API for you to build. Like, if you need wallet balances data, we have a very popular balances endpoint. We have transactions data. Like, for instance, if you need to query the state of a smart contract, it will give you a list of all the transactions on that smart contract, historical transactions, which is, again, not very possible using JSON RPC. We have NFT data. We have data from all your favorite Web3 protocols like Curve, Aave, Compound, Instadab, Yearn, etc. And we also have all your what we call XY equals K, or the Uniswap-like data, or like Uniswap clones like SushiSwap, PancakeSwap, etc. If you need to get the data from all the liquidity pools, you can use this API as well. So hopefully that gives you a broad overview of the kinds of data that we support and what kind of problems are we solving for developers.
Yeah, yeah. And I think probably this is, you know, unless you're a developer, a very underestimated, you know, port of sort of critical infrastructure for blockchains and for applications. So for example, you talked about the Uniswap K, was it XY equals K?
Yes, XY equals K.
Yeah. So like, you know, that there's so much that goes into that, right? Like there's both the order book that you have to sort of keep track of, as well as what the LP tokens are representing at any given time. And potentially like the value of that token as well. The way I sort of think about it is that in order for Web3 to eventually take over, we have to offer comparable or better user experiences than Web2. And in order to do that, we need to have user interfaces which are comparable. And for that, you need services like Covalent and other indexers to build these extremely simple and quick UIs. Is that about right? Is that how you guys look at it?
Absolutely.
Well?
Absolutely. I mean, we're only part of the picture, right? There's so many other developer tooling, like the very popular ones like WhatMe. It really makes your authentication flow really simple. And yeah, like even libraries such as Ethos.js, although limited in function in some ways, it is a really good tooling available that's free for everyone. And there's tons of developer tooling. We are taking care of the data part. If you need for specific simple use cases, common use cases rather, you can easily find that available via Covalent. And for us, we kind of specialize also in multi-chain kind of data needs. Like let's say you want to get data from both Sapphire and Ethereum, right? Our responses are in the same format. So you only have to code the logic once to get the same data in the same way you want it to your app. So that makes like building multi-chain applications really easy.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And we'll probably get into that in a bit. But yeah, I just wanted to, you know, say we're super excited to, you know, sort of in that same vein as, you know, for Web3 to outcompete Web2, we have to offer, you know, comparable user experiences. For Sapphire, for our confidential EVM, we also have to offer, you know, developers all the toolings that they need to offer comparable developer experiences as every other chain, you know, that, you know, other EVM chains that are transparent. So we're very excited to have Covalent on board so that our developers have all the tools they need to build the next generation of cutting edge dApps. I guess the next question I wanted to get into was, you know, there are a lot of indexers. There are a lot of people working in the data space, whether it's off-chain data, on-chain data. What is it that you think makes Covalent unique compared to these similar services?
Nice. I'm glad you asked. Now's the time to talk shit about the competitors. No, just kidding. So what we really specialize in is, first of all, like I mentioned, the multi-chain aspect. You can get like this data in the same format across many chains. So if you want to expand the kind of like multi-chain capabilities of app, you can easily do so. Secondly, if you're looking at JSON RPC, I have kind of gone through how the methods available via JSON RPC is kind of limited for most use cases that developers want to build. Of course, JSON RPC is super important for very specific use cases because they allow you to dive in deep to kind of like pick the precise hay out of that haystack that you need, right? It's like a precision surgical kind of tool. Whereas Covalent is like a aggregated data kind of tool. It's like you cast your net wide out to get all the data that you need in a certain format. And you focus on the UI, you focus on your product itself and the business logic. If you try to get the same level of data using JSON RPC solutions, you'll find that most of the time is just spent getting the data, which is not fun for most developers. Secondly, I would say that the breadth of data offering that we provide is fairly robust. You know, we have event logs, all our transactions endpoints. We already decode the data for you, which means that if you go onto Etherscan, you see like if you make an ERC20 transfer, right, you'll be able to see that there's like a transfer event, and that's how you know what is actually happening on chain. You interpret the event. A lot of solutions, because of the nature of EVM itself, you don't actually get the word when you query like what is happening on this block. They give you all the topics and the topics data and the input data, but they don't decode it for you, which is like, and then you're left with all these data and thinking, okay, what does this all mean? And then you have to build a certain like logic to kind of decode it as extra steps. Whereas for our response, we take care of the UI. If you need to ask like simple questions like, okay, I've got a Uniswap contract. It is a USDC to ETH contract. And I want to find how many swaps have there been in the last 24 hours, right? With Covalent's transactions endpoint, you can do that super easily. Whereas for other solutions, they might not have that decoded like swap event that you're looking for. Things like this, it makes your life just a bit more difficult. So apart from that, we also have NFT offerings, and we're constantly, I guess, like iterating and coming out with new products. Like for instance, the recent release, not released just yet, is going to be an approvals endpoint. Currently, we are all just mindlessly clicking through the approvals whenever we approve something on a smart contract, right? But that's actually quite dangerous because a lot of times we are setting up unlimited approvals for smart contracts that may or may not be trustworthy. And then how do you check what are the smart contracts that you have previously approved? Again, there's no easy way. You can go on the Etherscan, it exists, but how do you check it programmatically? So we are offering a new endpoint that allows you to see all the approvals of smart contracts of whichever tokens that you have and to revoke it if you feel that it is risky. And within the response itself, we also kind of categorize it for you. Is this a low risk kind of approval setting? Is it a considerable risk or is it a high risk revoke immediately kind of situation? So yeah, I guess we are all in the business of trying to make the lives of developers simpler and, you know, constantly working at the product.
Yeah, yeah. So if I were to summarize that, you know, in terms of like Web 2, you know, like the first thing is sort of like acting sort of like Google to find like the relevant data that you're actually looking for versus like just parsing the entire internet. If you tried to imagine finding a specific website or specific information without a search engine like Google, like that would be like the equivalent to trying to find all the transaction data without covalent. And then the other like major thing is making that data also readable, you know, in a way that, you know, it's very understandable to human, like to the average person. Whereas like, you know, taking it from its sort of bare bones form to something that, you know, is meaningful to the average person. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Like there's a lot of data interpretation that can only kind of go on from the indexer side. But I wouldn't exactly say that we're like Google. That's like comparing. But yeah, that would be like us having a bit of a messiah complex. But
fair enough. I was just trying to make an analogy. Perhaps maybe
yeah,
maybe
but
too grand.
It's a bit too grand, but the process is similar. We are both indexers, whereas there's a lot of differences between what we're indexing and why it's needed. For Google, they're indexing it to make it like searchable, to make it like, to power their search engines, right? Whereas for us, we are indexing it to kind of provide the data in like an easy way for developers to access. It's quite we are still a pretty niche kind of market. Google is like directly to end retailers, whereas for us, like we're more of a B2B product in some way, where the other side of the business are developers who are building other apps. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Similar process.
Yeah, no, thank you for making that clarification. You know, I think that probably helps me and probably a lot of listeners understand better like what exactly Covalent is doing. So I wanted to move into the next question that I had for you, which was, you know, how do you see Covalent fitting into the Sapphire ecosystem with confidential smart contracts and sort of this new generation of applications which can be built? And then maybe I'll add some thoughts after as well.
Absolutely. I think we've talked about it in a previous episode as well, on kind of like how would this data access fit into Sapphire's privacy preserving architecture. And like, given that Sapphire is still an EVM, the common problems that other EVMs have will also kind of like surface, which is that there's no easy way to get all your balances. There's no easy way to query the smart contract state. I believe last time you mentioned that there is a another kind of like segment of state that is, I guess, like behind a kind of like privacy gated kind of setup, which will not be queryable. That is by design. That is the feature of Sapphire. Where Covalent comes in is making the public data easily accessible for the developers and thus for the users of Sapphire as well. And those public data would be, you know, if you're building a bridge, if you're building a Uniswap contract, typically you have a wallet interface within the app itself where you can see all the list of the tokens. Yeah, Covalent API, one endpoint allows you to kind of build that, and you don't have to spend so much time worrying about the front end. You can focus on your back end logic. So a lot of it, I guess, like it's about time savings for the dApp developers within Sapphire ecosystem, such that they can focus on really getting the, for instance, privacy part of the smart contracts right and on point, and not worry about, in my opinion, like these other low level concerns, which is just repetitive if you don't have the right tools. Yeah. So that includes also like smart contract state, right? Where like if you have a smart contract and even like on-chain state where you need all the opened moves of all your poker players, you can get the aggregated data with Covalent API, whereas that the hidden moves, the fog of war stuff will still be within the privacy layer of Sapphire.
Yeah, I think, what the Oasis team expects is that actually a lot of, applications on Sapphire will choose to keep, most of their state actually transparent. We'll only choose like very specific aspects of state in order to improve, user experience, something like that. So if we take the DEX example, a Uniswap version 2, right? Like you could of course hide everything, but maybe like, people wouldn't want to do that due to regulatory concerns or, other potential issues that come with, completely having a confidential DEX. But, there's still a lot of value in hiding something like just the slippage parameter. If you hide just like the slippage that people are willing to tolerate on a trade, in a lot of ways that can become resistant to miner extractable value or MEV, which is essentially just, bots that are viewing transactions on chain, seeing that you're willing to take a 1% loss, up to a 1% loss on a specific trade, making the trade before you, and then pocketing that 1% difference. If they can't see that slippage parameter, then it becomes easy to mitigate that, or it becomes much more probable to mitigate that sort of from happening. And so it saves users, 1% on every trade. But what that means is, like, there's still the ability for Covalent, like, every other aspect of the Uniswap DEX or Uniswap V2 fork will be the way that users are used to seeing it on other EVM chains. And so like there still needs to be the analytics and the ability to look up LP tokens and all these things that Covalent is doing on every other chain. And so, I see tremendous use cases for Covalent for helping our developers and our ecosystem. And then the other thing I wanted to say is you touched on it earlier about how Covalent is able to, basically the same infrastructure can be used to query Ethereum as well as Sapphire and other EVM networks. So it's very good for cross-chain applications, which is perfect for the Sapphire use case, because one of the things we realized quickly after launching Sapphire is that we can also act as like a layer 2 or a sidechain for applications on other networks to offload their confidential computation. And we call that the Oasis Privacy Layer, or OPAL. And this ability to have just one indexer connecting to all the chains is an important tool in enabling that. And that's one of the reasons we were so happy to partner with Covalent on this integration, is because we see that it's going to empower our developers to quickly launch their cross-chain applications. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that you want to go to.
That's a really interesting point, actually. Before you mention OPAL, I was wondering what that is, but now you mentioned it, it really makes sense. It's a very interesting setup where you have Sapphire as almost like this like privacy layer that other networks can speak to and hold some private data I've not thought about it, but it completely makes sense. How's like the bridging being done currently?
We're working with we're working with a few bridge partners to get launched. Hopefully they'll be coming in the next couple weeks on mainnet. Some are already live on testnet. And stay tuned for those announcements very soon. The idea is to use messaging bridges, layer zero, multi-chain, Seller, Axlar, any of these bridges. We're sort of bridge agnostic. We want to allow developers to choose whichever bridge best meets their use cases. So we'll try to partner with as many messaging bridges as possible. It's just a timeline thing, for a lot of these projects that are, have lots of integrations in their pipeline. And then the other thing we want to do is add a gas free layer. And so, maybe I can just go through an example. We talked earlier about, potentially like a role-playing game with like a puzzle that you can't put on chain and you have to take it off chain. Well, maybe you want to do that, but your game already exists on Polygon and you already have lots of users and there's lots of TVL there and you don't want to move from Polygon. Especially because like 90% of your game doesn't need this confidentiality aspect, but you still want to have an on-chain riddle. Instead of like moving the whole application to Sapphire, what you could do is just build that riddle on Sapphire. And then essentially the user experience looks like you play the game, you get to the point where there's this riddle, MetaMask automatically switches to Sapphire, you submit your encrypted solution to that riddle. If it's correct, a message gets sent over the messaging bridge back to Polygon where your NFT reward is unlocked. Or your on-chain experience, something like that, and you just keep on playing. And then the gas free layer is so that you can like pay in Matic or USDC on the Polygon network, and sort of the entire Sapphire experience has been abstracted away from the user. But important to do that is probably indexing what items the user has on Polygon, or there's probably many use cases where you're going to need data from both chains. Maybe another example, just very briefly, would be confidential DAO voting. So maybe you have your DAO on Ethereum, and you want the ability to have an unbiased vote where everyone remains anonymous and they don't show which direction they voted on a governance proposal. Again, don't move all your assets of your DAO over to Sapphire. Don't move your entire application. Just have like a parallel governance module where when they click the governance dashboard, it switches to Sapphire. You submit your encrypted vote. At the end of the voting period, everything gets aggregated. The result gets sent back to Ethereum. If the governance passes, changes are made. If not, nothing happens. And I imagine, like in this use case, it'd be very important to like index, token balances on Ethereum for the vote weight or something along those lines.
100%. Yeah. For those use cases, you definitely need indexing on both sides, and also for the developers building those apps. They would prefer if like they could get data on both sides in the same format, I would imagine. But yeah, this layer is super interesting. Are there any dApps that's currently live that's currently, I guess, using Sapphire for this purpose? Or is it still being rolled out?
We have a few on testnet that I can't announce yet. But they're waiting for these messaging bridges and gas free layer. So we don't have all the infrastructure here. Recently we partnered with Chainstack for RPC services. Today Covalent. So Protofire launched a Gnosis Safe fork. So we're getting all the infrastructure in place, and so hopefully these applications will be able to launch soon.
Awesome. I'll be keeping an eye out because this is quite a novel kind of setup.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you for the encouraging words, and hopefully, we can announce some cool things soon. Moving on, I'd like to maybe with that in mind, just speak on like what applications can make good use of Covalent. Like maybe what is two of the most popular use cases, and maybe one use case which is maybe rare but niche and also interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Believe it or not, two of our most popular use cases are wallets and taxation use cases. So wallets, I think the reason is obvious. If you're building a wallet, the main thing that you want to do is to display all your users' token balance. And we've got a very popular and performant balances endpoint that allows you to do that with one click. And if you know the response contains everything that you need, right? It contains like the token address, the token logo for you to render it, the quote as well, so that you don't have to go around looking for the price of each token. And it also has this 24-hour change, so you can kind of display this like a percentage change on your 24-hour percentage change on your app as well. So that one is popular. And also in a wallet app, you would need to display all your users' latest transactions. And like I said, the transactions endpoint comes with all the interpreted decoded data. So our customers like to, you know, use those transactions endpoints inside their wallets as well. I get that also that, you know, not everyone wants to build a MetaMask. But surprisingly, there's a lot of wallets being built still today. And I believe like Covalent will continue to power a lot of wallet use cases. In terms of, yeah, and then there's tax as well, where tax is an interesting one because a lot of on-chain taxation softwares, all they need is actually a granular kind of like record of all your transactions, right? And the transaction response need to return every single piece of data for them to then go and categorize it within their own software in terms of, is this a taxation event? Is this not? If there's kind of like a transfer of assets or like what do you call that? A liquidation of assets, right? Sales of assets. What is your cost basis and how much is your capital gains? Like all these things are actually kind of like calculated fields from our tech transaction endpoint, which again returns a lot of granular information like the topics, the every single parameter of the logs, every single log itself, along with the interpreted names. So that's another use case. We also have more long tail use cases like GameFi applications, like for instance, Axie. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the game Axie Infinity. It was really popular last year before Ronin was subjected to that unfortunate $600 million hack. But for GameFi use cases, you can kind of track on-chain significant game events. Like for Axie players, they want to be able to track how their Axies breed. So all these Axie breeding, which is actually quite a significant event because when you breed an Axie, you can then sell it off for money and it costs like some amount of SLP token as well as ASS token to breed the Axie as well. That's the whole play to earn aspect of GameFi. So like a breeding event can be derived from, again, using the transactions endpoint against the Axie smart contract. So currently, if you want to find that information using other methods, that'll be quite difficult, but using the transactions endpoint, it's just a matter of one endpoint and you can get all the latest Axies that's being bred in the last, like, let's say 2-3 days. And that's valuable information for you if you are an Axie player, because then you can see, oh, who are some of the more rare Axies that's been bred? Maybe I want to snap them up in the marketplace earlier than later. And maybe I want to breed my Axie for, you know, for this amount as LP token, etc. So yeah, those are some more popular use cases and example of a long tail use case. There's tons of other use cases, like NFT use cases, bridging use cases that you can obviously build as well. I invite all the developers out here to check out our API documentation. So that will be covalenthq.com, and you can go to API reference and under our knowledge base, which is URL of covalenthq.com/docs, you'll be able to find lots of guides where we show you how to build your own taxation app, how to build your own wallet app, how to integrate platforms like Curve, like Aave into your wallet using the Covalent API, how to build like whale alerts applications, etc. So there's a lot of guides for you to do that. Take a read. Some are written by me, so give a retweet. Some are written by my colleague Leilani, and we are constantly trying to inspire developers to build more stuff with the API. So stay tuned to that section there.
Yeah, thank you for going into that. That was actually going to be my next question, was how can developers, you know, get started on building and benefit from Covalent? But maybe, as you already answered that, maybe, I guess, something else that might be helpful is, you know, if people have issues on Sapphire or Emerald, which we launched with you guys a while ago on Emerald, what's the best way to get help or to get questions answered?
Absolutely. Please follow us on Discord. You'll be able to find it on our website, and we have a link over there. And then we have got this developer support channel. Our staff is on standby to kind of like answer all your support questions. And also, if you can go to the developer documentation, we've got pretty robust documentation on how to do the common things, as well as guides and tutorials and FAQ page. So you might be able to find a lot of the information there yourself as well if you stumble upon some difficulties. But yeah, always feel free to reach out to us or anyone on the team, and we'll be able to just help you out immediately.
Yeah, that's super helpful. Thank you for that. One of the other things I know that you guys were working on was the ability to create sort of new endpoints, like for developers to build their own endpoints that are maybe not part of your whitelisted endpoints. Is that up and running? And where can they find that documentation on your website as well?
Yes. So that is currently still in active development. We are trying to push it past the release point, maybe by Q3, early Q3 maybe. But that will, so how that works is that we have this new platform called Increment. If you're familiar with like platforms like Dune, where you write SQL to query on-chain data, it is similar. You'll be able to write SQL to get all the on-chain data that you need. What's more interesting from a developer perspective is that from the tables that you get returned, you can then click one, create an endpoint button, and that will just generate an endpoint for you to be able to then query from your app. So it's very, very intuitive. Even if you don't know how to code SQL, I believe the team has kind of done some, I don't know what it's called. I'm not part of that team, but basically you don't need to be able to code to generate the data that you need. And so, yeah, really helpful stuff that's going to be rolled out, hanging there, maybe like in around 3 to 4 months. Yeah.
Oh, well, I can't wait for that. I think that's going to, you know, be a massive improvement to developer experience. And we're probably going to see a lot of
absolutely
really new use cases come from that. Just sort of scaling how fast Web3 can grow once that bottleneck is sort of removed. Yeah, I think, you know, that was it for the material that I had prepared for today. I would like to let you, you know, give you an opportunity to, you know, plug any upcoming events for Covalent, or yeah, anything that you want to share with the community.
I think product updates are always the most exciting stuff. There's a couple of new product releases. One of them is the approvals endpoint. I don't think you can access it yet. It might be rolled out in the next week or two. That will be really helpful to kind of counter the risks out there. And if you want to build an app that integrates any kind of approvals, and you need approvals data, that endpoint is there for you. And we've actually got a whole series of new endpoints all lined up in our product roadmap. So I guess just try out the product for yourself. You know, the data part is always very interesting. And give us a feedback on what you think about the old endpoints as well as the new endpoints. And yeah, stay tuned, I guess, to all the exciting new features that we'll be releasing in the next month or two.
Yeah, I can't wait to see some of these new features, especially, you know, the sort of Class C endpoints that you talked about.
Yes.
On the Oasis side, we'll be having another Twitter space about a week from now with Chainstack on May 10th, I believe. So please, you know, anyone who's interested in that integration and how that works with Sapphire, please come to that. We're also going to have a hackathon for these cross-chain Opal use cases, Oasis privacy layer use cases. So registration is available now, so you can register for the hackathon, and we'll have an announcement on when it will begin very shortly. I think those are the two major things coming up for us. Thank you, everyone, for coming today. I hope that, you know, you have a better understanding of both Oasis Sapphire, as well as how Covalent is empowering our ecosystem to grow and build the next generation of confidentiality-enabled smart contracts. So hope to see you guys all at the next Twitter space, and have a great rest of your day. Bye for now.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Will, for having me. It's a pleasure, as always.
Yeah,
take care, everyone.
So much,
thank you. Bye.